You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Yes, 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 Ozzy. Here we are. It's Friday again. What's going on? Time's going so fast. So fast. It just felt like Monday. And here we are. It's Friday the 15th. We made it midway through January already. We're heading into a Martin Luther King Day weekend. And actually, our station is honoring the holiday, and we will not be here on Monday, so that'll we have some best ofs that we're gonna roll for you on Monday. We're gonna finish strong today. Bottom of the hour, we have Laura Reese from the Heritage Foundation. She's gonna be calling in, talking about some border stuff with us. So looking forward to talking to Laura. And then that's someone that Tom Callahan is gonna have to call right after he does his bottom of the hour thing. So that's our little cue. It's a little radio, a little sneaky radio cue there for him. Food Friday, we have a restaurant debut for you today. It's Locale. They're an Italian restaurant that took over that beautiful spot on Alverdon just north of Broadway. Used to be Old Pueblo Grill in the old days. But looking when you look at their menu, very interesting stuff. They're doing pizza. They got a bakery. It's a very interesting kind of way to do Italian. So, and it's even better. I didn't even know this when we booked Locale. I booked a month, seven weeks ago, that today's like Italian Friday. We're going to be doing music that has to celebrate Italy from Italians. It could be anyone of Italian origin. Like I was telling young Thomas yesterday, we can do Satriani, John Bon Jovi, whatever you want, but we're going to do it all. And so celebrating not just Locale being here today, but tonight I'm doing my cooking class at 5:30. So by the time it's all over, there'll probably be, I don't know, at least 20-ish on there. That's enough. Having too many, you know, squares on the video screen, as Frank Costanza said in Seinfeld, I find tinsel distracting. You know, having more than 20 heads on a screen should be interesting. But we're going to have a lot of fun. Fettuccine Alfredo, shrimp scampi, and garlic bread. And whoever's taking the class, we sent you out I probably put 8 or 9 good albums of music that you could play. I was going to send you my Spotify playlist, but I'm not thinking how many people have Spotify, whatever, so it's just better off. You have the albums, you can go get it on your iTunes, or if you don't have any of that jazz, you can at least probably find it on YouTube and play one of those albums in the background, or you might own one. As one person on radio would say, I got the vinyl. Got a lot of vinyl. So can't wait to see you guys tonight on flyingapronstucson.com. I know Michelle already sent you the packets. Thanks to I'll remember her name. She's from Plaza Liquor, who recommended 2 white wines. It's a designation for wine. Chill out. White wines and 2 red wines that go wonderful. I'm going with I do like some white wine, but I did pick one of the Pinot Noirs that Michelle and I are going to be drinking with the vino, with the shrimp tonight. So can't wait to see you guys tonight. We also have Tim Sandifer from Goldwater. There's a bunch of stuff with Goldwater. We got Worldview. We have them jumping on with the restaurant with Grant Kruger and that crew on suing the county on their curfew. And also we got an update from on the Prop 208 lawsuit. And when you hear it, you won't be too happy. But it's not over, but the first salvo you won't be as so happy with. But we'll do that with lawyer Tim Sandifer in the third hour from Goldwater. I want to continue the discussion about redistricting. We're going to talk about the Washington Times, not redstate.com or anything like that. Everyone calm themselves. Talking about on the January 6th invasion of the Capitol building, that there are people in there who were not Trump supporters. This is the Washington Times. This is not something else. This is not a blog. So we'll talk about that. There's a great piece. It's actually from Scott Walker, former governor of Wisconsin, and who looks like a clone of Doug Ducey. He has an op-ed in the Times today using Ronald Reagan's words to prepare. I get some filthy pirate in me. Using Reagan's words to prepare the young to be defenders of liberty. And so some really good stuff in there that I like. We have Joe Biden wearing his Biden's Not My President shirt because he's really confused. He unveiled they kept it under, I'm going to call it $2 trillion spending plan. It's like Dr. Evil, $2 trillion. And there is a part of that that's not a part of the spending thing, that if you're a small business, either you're going to fire people or automate or go out of business. And we'll talk about that. We have to talk about some of the we're going to do a little vaccination segment that has to do with some local national stuff. We might talk about the this is for Callahan. I saw that the Arizona Coyotes are going to have fans. So they are going to do 3,450 fans at the Gila River Arena. It's a 25% occupancy of the arena, and I'm there.
Sounds about right for them.
Yeah, you mean that's an average fan? That's the
average? Yeah. Hoodumps.
The Coyotes, it's such a weird, that whole thing, the way it's gone down, right, with the Coyotes, right? They're the former Winnipeg Jets, right? They come here. I know that there was an excitement. There's more, you know, and I think you have so many people from other parts of the country that live in the Phoenix metro area. And you could see it too, even in Tucson, right, with the Roadrunners. You know, you had a lot of people. I remember sitting with Bob Hoffman, talking about, you know, like, what's the geographic origin of fans that go to Roadrunner games? And of course, it's no one who lives near the actual arena. It's all Oral Valley, Marana, Foothills, East Side. You know, there's like three people living in the center of circle of self-righteousness down there who actually wants to watch hockey. But that's good for downtown because you're bringing people in from the suburbs, and that's part of the challenge. But, you know, and then what was the guy's name? Elman, the owner for a while. Oh, was it Elman? And then you want to do the anyway. The Coyotes, I feel like, if you're telling me the Coyotes before pandemics were having crappy attendance and all that stuff.
Well, their arena's on the west side, their fans are on the east side, and Phoenix is a mess. That's part of it. But honestly, Chris, the other thing is, games start at 7 or 7:30, whatever it is, and you work and you live on the east side. Tuesday, Thursday, you're not bringing the kids back across town for a game. You miss the entire first period. So they were great on the weekends. They did very well with their Saturday games.
Ah, got it.
But two out of three weren't cutting it.
Interesting. No, so when we always talked about when Ekstrom, Grijalva, and the crew decided to put the baseball stadium where it is over here, right? What happened was the people who were spending money and coming down were people who were driving back to their house, and then you're expecting them to come back for a 7 o'clock ball game. That wasn't happening. No one wanted to come down to Keno and Ajo anyway because there's nothing to do before or after the game, whatever. That's a whole other story, okay? And it's the same way when the FC Tucson guys said, oh, the county built on that little baby stadium there. And like, oh, this is wonderful. Well, if you talk to the FC Tucson guys, they haven't put any money in their pocket because no one goes to their games and the county has all the concessions. So what you're saying, I can see what you're saying about. So what about the Phoenix Suns compared to the Coyotes?
Well, they play downtown.
Ah, that's why.
So
it's closer to the humans.
Yeah, if they were either downtown or on the east side, I think they'd do better. I don't know that they'd be a raging success, but they would do better.
Right. Okay. And then, of course, there's always that thing you see it at Diamondback games, right? It matters who the visiting team is and who shows up to games.
Same thing with the Coyotes.
Right.
If the Bruins or the Blackhawks are in town, it's packed. And it sounds like a Chicago home game.
Exactly. All right. We just solved hockey in 3 seconds. Thank you, sir. When we come back, there's a Pima County story that I actually had to have young Thomas pull out the Sideshow Bob from The Simpsons evil laugh. So we're going to do it again. Good morning. Buongiorno. It's the All-Italian Friday on Wake Up Tucson. 10:30 Voice. There it is. Scenes from an Italian Restaurant. So it's so fun. I knew we had a plenty of playlists from the past. So I went into Alexander's, playlist archive. And I was like, oh, man, we got like 7 Italian lists. So I took 3 of them there and their paperclip for you. So 2 of them are songs. And the third one is actually people of Italian-American descent.
Okay.
So, it's got like Lady Gaga, Al Di Meola, that kind of stuff. Satriani, Bon Jovi. You'll see it.
We'll have some fun.
We're going to have a lot of damn fun here today. We got Locale coming up at the top of the hour, making their restaurant debut here. They just opened up recently, so looking forward to seeing them. Matt Russell said he's going to go eat there tonight, so I can't wait to hear his review. I'll have to probably get there. I'm going to eat the food at the top of the hour, probably get there probably for lunch sometime next week, but I think they're open in the morning and stuff too. So, Tom, we're going to save the Sideshow Bob Ebel laugh for next segment, okay? I want to let that breathe a little bit. So this is from the Washington Times, and this is from reporter Valerie Richardson, January 14th. I do like the meme. It had, Bill Murray when he's at... in Groundhog Day, when he's in front of the and Phil's groundhog hole, and he goes, "Hey, good morning again." It's like when he's really kind of depressed, right? And he goes, "And it's Groundhog Day again, right?" And then it has that same kind of picture with a look on his face, and he goes, "And it's impeachment time again at the the White House." You know what I love about the whole impeachment thing? They made it sound like it was so like this. It was like this a major news event, right? And it's kind of like, I guess it is, but it's kind of like most of us are like been there, done that. And then I guess they're saying that, Feynman, how can you possibly be all Italian without Ed there? Because of course he's, well, he retired. He quit on us, Bob. This is what happens. So Ed might make an appearance on the cooking class tonight. So Michelle invited him to pop on by. I don't know if Ed's cooking anything, but he might be there for, interaction and good laughs. And he does, I have seen him drink copious amounts of wine. So I know he does that. So back to Valerie Richardson from the Washington Times. This is not from their op-ed page. This is actually a reporter. The Democrat impeachment claim that President Trump spurred on the attack by whipping his supporters into a violent mob is coming under scrutiny as evidence mounts that the siege was not as spontaneous but well-planned in advance. Now, remember, what happened was is that you had the FBI immediately came out and said, oh, there are no Antifa. And they were arresting people left and right. The release of court documents show that at least 2 suspects arrived on or before the 6th, armed with explosives, tactical gears, and caches of weapons. Facebook has come under fire for failing to remove Stop the Steal pages allegedly used by organizers even months ahead of the rally. Also emerging are media reports that investigators believe the assault was coordinated and not just a protest that spiraled out of control. And that the FBI knew beforehand that the plans for a, quote, war at the Capitol, as per the Washington Post. Yes, remember I gave you that story from the Post a couple of days ago that the guy who quit as the Capitol Police chief, when asked, did you get any intelligence from the FBI or whatever, and he said no. So why wouldn't the FBI give the Capitol, if this was cooking and they knew it, why did they not give it to the Capitol Police Chief? Let's see what we have here. Indications that rioting was planned appear to run counter to the House Democrat argument that Trump's speech, quote, foreseeably resulted in rioting, which saw thousands invade the Capitol building in a melee that led to 5 deaths. Let's see. We shall see how all this goes. The other thing too is there's a guy named his name is John Sullivan, and he is a Black Lives Matter Antifa activist. And him and his partner, what's her name? Sadie something. They were on Anderson Cooper earlier in the year, because they were talking about, you know, justice on the streets. And, oh, Jade Sacker is his, who has done work for NPR, CNN, NBC, and other outlets. We have video that they took of themselves inside the White House when all this was going down. And then as they're walking back, he actually talks about how he, you know, bought his Trump hat to fit in and all that other stuff. So anyway, now Andy Biggs was catching crap, and the Arizona Republic quoted what he said on this show Monday about how, yes, there were Trump rioters in there, but there was also people from Antifa, maybe BLM, and they gave him hell in the newspaper. This is not even an op-ed. This is actually a reporter or two reporters. And whatever they do in Andy Biggs' story, because they hate him so much, they keep using the same picture of the federal agent pointing the gun through the doorway. It's amazing how much they want to tie Andy with that image, right? And so, as I've learned this doing this show, pay attention and let it all unfold a little bit. Over the past, when things like this have happened, I've had people who are on my, why didn't you do it? Let it roll out. Let it roll out and see what happens. Because we're going to find out more. But, you know, and the other thing, too, is that when the FBI came out that quick, think about what was going on inside the White House. It was chaos. Not the White House, inside the Capitol. It was chaos, right? And they didn't arrest. You can't arrest everybody. They all admitted they were understaffed, right? They didn't have enough people. And so when the FBI immediately comes out and goes, oh, there are no Antifa BLM people, how do you know that? There's no, you can't say you were understaffed and overwhelmed and then say, oh, well, we knew everyone who was in that building. Not if they're wearing masks, dude. So anyway, this video of John Sullivan, somehow was he posted it up on his Discord server, which is a video conferencing server. We do use it for Dungeons and Dragons. And and then the other video that's hilarious is, I don't know if anyone's seen the video of the lady yelling at Chuck Schumer while he's doing a press conference on the streets of New York. This woman gives him hell. I'm not saying that everything she said was and also do not listen to it while the kids are around the house. She lets it rip a little bit. But nothing more interesting than a New Yorker. She's got the voice, hey, Schumer, right? Calling Chuck Schumer an anti-Semite. It's a throwdown. And then it was so funny as his guys start trying to push her away. She goes to the 6 feet, distance for social distancing. She's like, 6 feet, please. 6 feet social distancing. I could never play that on the show. One, she says some inappropriate things and she uses bad language. But it was refreshing to see someone giving Chuck Schumer, making Chuck Schumer feel uncomfortable. So just watching her, a buddy of mine in New York sent it to me, and it was pretty funny. The other thing we're going to do too is there is a big court case that just got a decision from a judge where restaurant owners sued Governor Cuomo in New York, and he's not liking the decision on that one either. So when we come back, I promised it. I wanted to kind of let it go, let a few more people wake up. This is a Pima County story that we're going to use the Sideshow Bob Ebel laugh one more time. So nothing better than that. Here we go. It's Italian Friday. Oh, I like this one. Here we go. Look at that. Wake up, Tucson. I did it to you again. I totally spaced. I got Laura Reese coming on from Heritage Foundation, so we're going to have to hold on our Sideshow Bob Pima County story. But let's go. Is she there or are you calling her? Calling her. Excellent. All right. So we'll get to that Pima County. I only have Laura for about 10 minutes, so it's okay. So I know she has some illegal immigration border stuff that she wants to talk about me while with me. What else do we got? Oh, so here's a quick story that Noah sent me. This is from the Salt Lake Tribune. The people that chanted traitor, traitor on Mitt Romney have been banned from Delta Airlines. They've been put on the no-fly list for Delta Airlines. So if you felt like that was done, you're not a big fan of that move, you might want to, next time you're looking at your flight plans and you have a choice between Delta and somebody else, maybe you might not choose Delta next time. Is she there? Let's do it. Let's go to Laura Reese from the Heritage Foundation. Laura, good morning.
Good morning.
Are you calling up from the swamp-like area over there, or are you in a better place in the world?
I am near the swamp.
We apologize and we pray for you. what's your position over at Heritage?
Our position is that we are in for a rather bleak immigration picture. under the Biden administration, it's going to look a lot like the Obama administration.
I was going to say, you just did that Freudian slip right there. You just said the O'Biden. I like that.
Yeah, it was Freudian. We're going to see a much more open border. The numbers of encounters by the Border Patrol and Customs and Border Protection on the Southwest border has already increased. Migrants weren't even waiting for the election because the numbers started to go back up in September, and they have been higher month over month compared to 2019, which was the year of the Southwest border crisis during the Trump administration. So we're in for a ride.
So, and of course, we're in Tucson, Arizona. We're only 40 minutes or so from the border, and we're in a very blue liberal county that actually, due to pure politics of a sheriff who was a Republican at the time, well, he still is, he's just not sheriff anymore, we actually turned away Stone Garden money for the first time in 18 years because of the politics of it. So our Pima County Sheriff's Department's $2 million lighter in the pocket because the current Board of Supervisors would love as much of that illegal immigration action, I think, as possible.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Americans want security, and they want a secure border. It's part of being a sovereign nation. You know, every other country is able to protect its borders and uphold its sovereignty, but only the U.S. is criticized for doing so.
What I love about I've had people, because we're in the heart of it down here in Tucson, right? They'll say that the border policy of the United States is, quote, draconian. I've heard this from out of their mouths. And I'm sitting there going, we let a lot of people in. When they're here legally, we let 70% of them overstay their visa. We don't mind if they show up. They don't show up for court cases. I think what's the opposite of draconian? Whatever that is, that's us.
Yes, we are extremely generous. We have been extremely lax under different administrations, not so much the Trump administration. And it just begets more illegal immigration because people know that odds are high that they can get in illegally and stay a long time and work and then eventually get a green card.
Do we think the coronavirus situation at all spurred on some of that illegal immigration also? In relation to maybe some people trying to come up to the U.S. for better health care than what's going down in Mexico?
Yes, the economies in not just our country, but certainly Mexico and the Central American countries have also been racked from COVID. And you see the numbers in last year in 2020, they dipped quite a bit from March to April, but then they start go back up consistently. And fortunately, the U.S. government imposed a Title 42, which was health restrictions of allowing or authorizing Border Patrol to just turn people back for health reasons. Nonetheless, the numbers have gone up. So there are definite push factors at play to cause people to migrate, and poor economies in each of their home countries is a big part of that.
So Trump did get done 450 miles of border wall. What do we hear? What do we think the Democrats are going to? Are they just going to leave it there, or are they going to malign it and still say privately? Maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. What do you think?
So during the campaign, Joe Biden said he would not build one more mile of wall. It does look like they're going to stop construction, which in itself will be an expensive endeavor to end contracts early. I don't believe that they would actually tear down any new wall, despite some on the radical left pushing for that. But walls work, you know. The border agents asked for it. That's what they need. They say that it helps their job considerably. And if you want proof of that, just look at the U.S. Capitol right now. It is surrounded by walls going into next week's inauguration to keep the members of Congress safe.
Now, tell me about what do we think in the relation, because we know that the U.S. immigration system is quite a broken thing, and I don't, even under the Trump administration, did they fix any of that, or is it still the same mess?
The Trump administration made a lot of changes on particularly dealing with fraud and shutting down avenues for fraud. So the numbers overall for immigration, legal immigration, remained the same. We still issued over 1 million green cards each year. So, you know, despite folks on the left saying that he shut down immigration, it's just not true. What he did do was bring more integrity to immigration and went after fraud, better vetting for national security reasons. So he made legal immigration better instead of making it easier to illegally immigrate.
What's the story with all of those Central American immigrants that were just coming up through on their death train through Mexico and all that stuff? I haven't heard, because there's other things in the news, of course. What's going on with that in the last, you know, 2 to 3 months?
So there have been a couple attempts at more caravans forming, but fortunately, they have been stopped and broken up. The Mexico's southern border, along with help from Honduras and Guatemala, and what really stopped those caravans was the Trump administration starting what's called the Remain in Mexico policy, which is if you come to the U.S. border and claim fear, then you, instead of allowing you to come into the U.S. and await your court date, for which you may never show up, you have to wait in Mexico. And when people learned that just claiming fear at the border wasn't their ticket to get into the U.S. anymore, many of them went home or withdrew their claims, and it was a game changer in stopping those caravans. And so it's very important that the Biden administration keep that policy in place. It looks like instead of rolling it back day one, as he said he would do during the campaign, he's now backpedaled a bit and said, we're looking at more like 6 months. But he will be under extreme pressure from his radical left to end that program as soon as possible.
Well, and again, if we're trying to control a pandemic, why would you allow other people just to kind of blow into your country and add a whole other level of chaos to the situation?
Well, and the pandemic factor is key here, and that is a real line of defense. And that Title 42 authority that I mentioned before that allows Border Patrol to just turn them back for health reasons, I mean, at some point that will be lifted once we get past this pandemic. And so between that Title 42 and the Remain in Mexico policy, those are two real lines of defense. We know one will go away when the health conditions improve. We think the other one will go away. Remain in Mexico, it's just a matter of when.
So I got one. I know you got to get to another meeting. So I got one last question that I've always wanted to ask someone like yourself who's versed on this. So the Catholic Church down here on the border was always like, oh, we got to let them in. We're going to do all these camps or, you know, like refuge centers in America. Let them in, and then, you know, we'll make sure they get to their court case or whatever, right? And I was always like, well, the Catholic Church should be doing it in Mexico, right? The Catholic Church doesn't stop at the Mexican border. And then someone explained to me, not just the Catholic Church, but some of these NGOs, is if they do the work in Mexico, if they're on a government contract, they don't get paid.
Various church groups and NGOs do receive quite a bit of grant money to assist immigrants. Whether that's refugee populations or assimilation, shelters, I mean, you name it. There are dozens of government programs that these groups benefit from. So, yes, it's a little bit of special interest going on and self-interest in seeking more immigrants to come in and then therefore getting more money from the government to assist them.
Well, Laura Reese, I know you got a good going. Please, let's renew this conversation because we're right on the front line for this. So, and if you ever come out to Arizona, let us know.
All right. Thank you very much, Chris.
All right. That's Laura Reese. She is with the Heritage Foundation. When we come back, we will play the Sideshow Bob in a Pima County story. I really believe it this time. Wake up, Tucson. There we go. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. We got the good people from Local Ristorante and Bakery coming up at the top of the hour, making their debut over on Broadway and Alvernon. They've been open for a few weeks, several weeks now, but they'll be here, and we're going to be doing them for Food Friday. All right, I got to get to this story because I've been teasing it for... I like totally spaced Laura Reese was coming on. So this is from KGun9 on your side, Valerie Cavazos. I still, again, for all of you people who are, you say you're journalists in this town, Valerie Cavazos is an anchor who's also kicking your ass on the news. That's amazing. She's the dual threat, right? She anchors a news broadcast, but she actually does more real news to affect Tucson than Stellar, Ninsel, and Dylan Smith put together. It's amazing. Valerie, kudos. You're kicking their rear end. Okay. So Valerie has this story. So I already told you Chuck Huckleberry's been an overpaid loser for years, right? And then I brought to everyone's attention the fact that we are the second to worst county in getting out the vaccine. I was talking to someone yesterday who's over the age of 60 who's eligible to get a shot, and we were talking about him and his wife possibly going up for the road trip to Phoenix, you know, do a little Scottsdale shopping, get a hotel room, and then head over to the football stadium to get their vaccine because Pima County is a bunch of losers at this. But wait, there's more. So here's, and you know, I'm advocating, just tell Rex Scott that a guy like, I think you can get a guy like Gilbert Davidson to replace Chuck. And if you did that, you can change the whole trajectory of the whole community in one shot. One shot. Bam. Just like Emeril Lagasse. Here's some pepper. Bam. Okay. So now the unions who are so tied to the Democrats, right? They have come out and told them that Chuck needs to go away. The Pima Area Labor Federation is supporting two unions' demand and sent letters out to the Board of Supes. The unions that represent Pima County employees and the corrections officer, they're demanding that the Board of Supes deny the county administrator's 4-year contract and the $13,000 raise. They want the board to begin an immediate search for a new county administrator, involve staff and union in the search, and limit Huckleberry's involvement in Pima County. That's a hell of a line right there. They don't want any part of that. So the idea that the unions that are so tied to Grijalva and Ekstrom and all this stuff are coming for your head, Chuck, I think there's only one thing I can say to that. Now, we may play that again, so be ready. So now... If you remember, before the last vote, our discussion about this, the first meeting they had, a credible staffers came forward to KGun9 anonymously describing his raise as a slap in the face. So here's the thing, kids. Now, I'm sure they're just sick of Huckleberry in the first place, okay? Now, you gotta remember, so get this email in your head. I want this email address burned into your skull, okay? District1@pima.gov. District1@pima.gov. Okay? That is Rex Scott's official email. Rex Scott doesn't know it, but he could actually save Pima County in one swoop here. And I'm a little scared that he's got way too much, he's way too up the posterias of Adelita and Sharon. But Rex Scott's the only hope here. I feel like Princess Leia. Help us, Rex Scott. You're our only hope. Rex, I'm telling you, man, don't be scared. They're telling you, Adelita and Sharon are probably telling you, we can't do this community without Chuck. He just knows everything. Screw him. I'm telling you, even if you wanted to do a long, Bill Buckmaster, I didn't listen to it. I was at a lunch meeting. In my interview with Rex, he had nothing but praise for Chuck. He sounded like a yes vote to renew his contract. Do you understand, Rex, that you are going to doom Pima County to 4 more years of hell? Do you understand that you're going to doom Pima County? Sorry, you're going to doom the region, right? You're taking Marana and Oro Valley, two communities in your district, and putting them in the toilet by letting them be subject to Chuck Huckleberry. Do you get this yet? So I'm telling you, district1@pima.gov. You guys need to pound Rex Scott nicely. And all of you SALC kids out there, Southern Arizona Leadership, this is a perfect time for you to send an email to District 1 and say, hey, let's go for a change. Let's do it. Zach and your young professionals, instead of pivoting and having your coffees and talking about sustainable onion farms and how it's going to save downtown, you guys need to go to district1@pima.gov and make it happen. Because I'm going to tell you something, Matt Hines, he wants Huckleberry's head. You can tell by his quote and what he talked about last time. And we know Steve Christie already wants him gone. So I'm telling you need to tell everyone in your little circle, district1@pima.gov, and please tell Rex Scott that he needs to dump Chuck Huckleberry. And now I got two unions. These are the unions who walk neighborhoods for candidates. This is the meat and potatoes of the Democrat Party in Pima. They're the ones that send they have a real job someplace else, that send these guys and girls to go do knocking on doors and putting up signs and crap. This is the work. This is like the troops of the Pima Democrat Party want Huckleberry gone. You say, well, why are they angry at Huckleberry? Well, there's got to be a couple of things here. One, I think it's so funny. You can't make them happy. So he takes 80 out of the $85 million of CARES. He puts $32 million for extra vacay time for employees during lockdowns. Okay. But then he actually forced some of them to go to work, which is hilarious. I think they're pissed off at that because the city's a joke. I was just talking to someone in the city manager's office who said, literally, based on all the whining of what's going on, you could fire 90% of the city staff and start over. Not the workers like at the parks and stuff, but all of these kind of bureaucrats, you could get rid of 90% of them. If the average citizen can watch the employee comments during the Ortega Zoom meeting with all these people, you would be ashamed of them. You would just be, it's like, hey, at the city, go do one Zoom meeting and go work on your garden. Go do a Zoom meeting and get back in that pool. So I think they're a little pissed at that. But when he came in the first thing and said, I want all of my money and I want a raise, that was the final thing for the union. Think about this. Rockin' Robin at the U of A. He makes $1 million. He took a 20% pay cut. So when the big daddy of money takes a pay cut, and Huckleberry, who's one of the big daddies, but makes $600,000 plus less than Rockin' Robin's, and he's like, well, he's taking a 20% pay cut. I'm so amazing. I want 13. I'm already one of the highest paid people that do this job in the country. And you know something? I'd like an extra 13% or whatever the hell he wants. I'm telling you, district1@pima.gov. Oh, and again, and please remind nicely, please remind Rex Scott that if he votes to keep this guy, you know what happens? He's a one term. We will shove this in your face all the time that you renewed Chuck Huckleberry. So maybe Rex, maybe you think you're only going to be there for a term and you're going to run for Congress or some crap like that. So maybe that's your plan. But if you think that'll kill you. Rex, whatever you think you're going to run for after this, whether it's county supervisor or something else, you renewing Chuck Huckleberry and rubber stamping it will haunt you the rest of your life. please, Rex Scott, please piss off the Democrat Pima Air. Go piss off the unions. Please. Please. Now, we'll see if anyone else covers this in the newspaper world, because usually they suck at this. So, Valerie Cavazos, great job again. Food Friday, locale. Wake up, Tucson, 1030 The Voice.